We are going to continue in our series on giving as we evaluate the seven purposes of the church that we built this church and structured this church upon. We are now at the series on giving. And last week we talked about that it's a matter of principle. And we saw that God is the giver and God's people have always what? Given back to God. Good. 12 of you remember. That's wonderful. But that's more than what I thought. There we go. So I'm, and then this morning I want to focus on that. Last week we talked about it's a matter of principle. This week I want to talk about that it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. And so there's a question I want you to ponder as I'm preaching this message. Okay, I want this question to kind of just marinate on your mind for a moment, okay, and all through the message. And here's the question. Can God trust me to trust him? Okay, can God trust me to trust him? Let's stand for the honor of reading God's word, if you can, and we will be in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, we'll start with verse 1. This is Solomon's words to his son. He says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and year of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Let's pray. Lord, as we look at this text this morning and we look at the other places in Scripture that we will focus on, I pray that you give us hearts open to you, Lord. Lord, that we would be people who completely trust in you with all of our heart. And Lord, and that you can trust us with the resources you have blessed us with. Father, I pray that our hearts would be open to what stewardship really is about. And that we would be the people you've called us to be. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord, today. I do understand the judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. We look at the first two verses again in Proverbs chapter 3. And he's telling us to not do something and telling us to do something. He says, "My son, do not what? Do not forget my teaching. But let your heart," what? "Keep my commandments." So don't forget the teaching and the instruction that I'm giving you. And always keep my commandments. And I think that's very good words of wisdom, not just to Solomon's son, but also to us as well. That we are to keep the commands of God. That we are to always be ready to hear the instruction of the Lord. And he says in verse 2, 4, Here's the reason, the motivation to listen and to follow his commands. "For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you." That if we will live our lives under the direction of God and do what he's called us to do and live our lives the way that he says that we should live, then it will add peace to our life. And you know, there's much value in being able to live a life of peace. Amen? Because you look at the world around us and you read stories in the news and you hear what's going on, and there's many people who are not experiencing peace. They're experiencing turmoil inside and out. Studies show that financial problems is one major stress, not the only stress in a marriage, but one major stress in a marriage that causes conflict. It's also one factor that causes depression, not the only factor that causes depression, but finances do lead to depression. Too much of it will make you greedy, and too little of it will make you a thief. Our money has the motto of our nation on it. It says, "In God we trust." However, when I step back and evaluate and look at America as a whole, I wonder if that statement is even true. That it's rather in money we trust. According to Forbes, 44% of Americans do not have enough cash to cover a $400 emergency. 38% of U.S. households have credit card debt with the average balance of over $16,000 with an interest rate of over 16.5%. 56% of American adults have less than $10,000 saved for retirement, with one-third of American adults having zero for retirement. According to Debt.com, 33% of Americans have made an overdue payment on their credit card bill, and 31% have maxed out their cards. And Americans hold over $1 trillion in credit card debt. The peace of mind is not with a lot of people. And so we've got to ask ourselves this morning, are we going to listen to the teachings of the Lord, or are we going to forget them? Are we going to embrace what God says, or are we going to reject them? Verse 3 says, "Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." Faithfulness, loving kindness, the love for God, bind them around your neck, hold them close to your heart, keep faithfulness, keep love for God, keep that as close to you can in your innermost beings. Love God, follow his commands, listen to his voice, do what he says to do. Why? Because it says that then you will have success and favor before God and man. Now, how many of y'all believe that God wants good for his children? Now he promises that he will always be for the good. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that we go through in life is good to us. But there's an outcome in the end that will be a good outcome. Just like any parent wants what is good for their children, our Heavenly Father wants what is good for us. But that doesn't mean that we give our children, a good parent, a good father, and a good mother knows that you don't give your child everything that they want, right? But you make sure that they have everything that they need. And that's what God promises. That he will supply all of our needs according to the riches of Christ Jesus. That our needs will be met, that we will lack nothing, whether that's spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and also financially, that we will have what we need. Psalm explains how we can have a life of success. Now, let me ask you some questions. Does the Bible give us ways to live, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, that's not good enough. You ready? We got to make sure before we move on. We got to know. You got to participate. We're going to have participation this morning. Does the Bible give us directions in how we are to live? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, good. I need to make sure everybody believes that. If the Bible says to do something, should we do it?
Yes.
Do you believe that the Bible is God's word and his instructions are for our good and they are to be obeyed rather than debated? Okay, good, because we got some good stuff coming our way. Because that next part of Proverbs says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Trust. What does trust mean? Trust means to esteem, to have confidence in, have assured reliance on the character, ability, or strength, or truth of someone or something. Okay? So every single one of you demonstrated trust in these blue chairs. Right? All right, you ready? Here we go. So if we can get this chair right here, We're going to have us a live, living illustration. You ready? Here we go. Now, just have a seat right there for a moment. Now, did you see how much trust he just had? How do I know he trusted this chair? Because he got in it. Now, stand back up just real quick. He didn't do this. Whew, man, I don't know. These chairs have been here for a while. No, he just flopped right in there like this was going to hold him up. Like he knew, he's confident that he is going to hold him up, just like you all. Y'all came in. I didn't see any of y'all checking these chairs out. No, y'all came in here like you owned the place, just sat right down there, didn't think. I mean, what if that chair just, you had complete confidence and trust that it wouldn't. Now, do you trust me? Okay, you trusted that chair. Do you trust me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I need you to do something. You just stand right there again. Don't move, okay? Now, close your eyes. Put your hands over your eyes. Now, I'm going to trust you that you're not going to open your eyes, okay? I'm going to trust you. You trust me, right? You know I'm not going to do anything crazy, all right? So, do not tie. Don't listen to them. Do not listen to their voice. Listen to me. I've got you, okay? Okay, I'm going to ask you to sit down. Just sit straight down. Oh, wait a minute. He trusted me, but I don't know. He had that hand down there a little bit. All right, give Ty a big round of applause. You'll take it. Here's your seat back. Now here's what happens, okay? God asks us to trust him. He asks us to trust him. And many of you have had experiences in your life that have been hurtful or harmful, and you've blamed God for that. And you thought that God is a God who pulls the chair out from underneath you. You were abused. Where was God? He pulled the chair out. Maybe you were hurt by someone that you loved. Maybe it was a family member who hurt you. Maybe you were hurt by church. Maybe you were hurt by a pastor. Maybe it was a friend. Maybe it was, who knows? There was something that you thought, I don't know if I can trust. But can I tell you this morning that our God is a God you can trust? That he doesn't wait for us to sit down and then swap the chair out to laugh at us and to mock us. No, when you get a doctor's report, guess what? He holds that chair right there. It doesn't matter. Your spouse may have left you. He's holding that chair right there. It doesn't matter. The boss may say, you no longer work here. He's holding that chair right there. He doesn't move the chair. You can trust him. He is trustworthy. His character is pure. We can trust him with all of our heart, not just some of our heart, but with all of our heart, every part of our being. God says, I want you to trust me. So I'd ask you this morning, are you trusting God? Are you trusting him for salvation? You realize that you're not going to buy your way to heaven. You're not going to work your way to heaven. The only way that you're going to make it to heaven is to trust that Jesus died for your sin and that he rose again. And that if you will put your whole faith, if you will sit in that chair of grace, that he will completely hold you up and he will save you and he will redeem you and he will make you whole. Have you trusted Christ as Lord and Savior? And if you have, are you trusting him in all your ways? Look, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your thinking. Well, the way I see it, or the way I figure it, how many of y'all have seen it and figured it wrong? I don't want to know how I see it. It's not about how I figure it. It's about how he sees it. It's about how he figures it. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. Now, this doesn't mean this is saying that we should be ignorant, but it's saying don't think that you're smarter than God. Don't lean on your own understanding. No, he says, in all your ways. And how many of your ways? Some of your ways. In the ways that you know, I can handle these, God, but maybe I need your help on these. In all your ways. What does all mean? It means all the time. That's all it means, all. In all your ways, what do you do? Acknowledge him. What does acknowledge him mean? To recognize him. To put him first. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will do what? He will make straight your paths. Or he'll make your path straight. He won't put any sticks out there for you to trip over. He will make your path straight. How many of you all have learned that if you would have listened to God, it could have saved you from some heartache? If you would have walked in wisdom, you could have went down a different path than what you did. And it could have saved you much trouble. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. It's going to be not wise in your own eyes. There it again. Don't trust in yourself. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. What's it going to do for you? It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. It'll give you peace, joy, love, a sound mind. It'll bring blessing upon your life. Now let me ask you some questions. Do you trust God with your future? Do you trust God with your marriage? Do you trust God with raising your children? Do you trust God with your career? Do you trust God in your friendships? Now let me ask you this question. Do you trust God with your finances? That's a very real question, isn't it? As the late, great Adrian Rogers would say, as just a famous Baptist preacher, had a deep, booming voice. He said, "The most sensitive nerve is the nerve that goes from the heart to the wallet." Do you trust God with your finances? That's a proper question to ask. Why? Because in the next verse, what does Solomon say? Honor the Lord with your what? And with the of all your produce. Honor the Lord. Honor. That word honor means weightiness. It also can be translated to glorify. It means to esteem highly. We use it as a title for a judge. We call a judge your honor. And when a judge walks in the room, everybody stands to attention, give respect. And when you address the judge, you call him your honor. Why? Because he holds weight in that courtroom. He holds authority. For all my golfers out there who like golfing, when you are playing golf and you go from one hole to the next, the person who scores the lowest score on the hole, the next hole, they get to go first. It is called, they have what? Honors. They got honors. They get to go first. To honor the Lord means you put him first. He is first in your finances. And Solomon says, honor the Lord with your wealth and the first fruits of all your produce. That wealth is his liquid assets. It's the metals that he would sell. So that would be all of our resources and income that we get from, maybe it's investments, maybe it's a bonus, maybe it's a secondary job that's not our main job. And then with the first fruits of the produce, that would be with your what you do to make a living. With all of your resources, all of the financial resources you have, God says, bring a tithe. Give a first fruits. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your produce. Why? Then your barns, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. What's he saying? I will supply all of your needs. If you will trust me with your finances, if you'll trust me by bringing your first fruits, by bringing your tithe, I will take care of your needs, all your needs. You won't want. He said that same thing to the Hebrew people in Malachi's day. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, it says this, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." Thank God for his patience with us. Amen. He says, "From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them." He says, you haven't been listening to my words. You've not been binding them around your heart and around your neck. He says, "Return to me and I will" what? "Return to you," says the Lord of hosts. But you say, "How shall we return?" And he says, "Will a man rob God?" Uh-oh. God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. Yet you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions," or your tithes and your offerings. He says, "You're robbing me. You're not honoring me. You're not bringing your first fruits to me. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." Then he tells them in verse 10, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." That means so that the ministries can continue. That the work and the mission of the temple can be carried out, because it wasn't being carried out. Why wasn't it being carried out? Because they were robbing God of their, from their tithes and offerings. Now watch what he says, "And thereby put me to the test." If you have your Bible, underline that. "Put me to the test. Put me to the test," says the Lord of hosts, "if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Put me to the test. This is the only time in Scripture that it says, test me. That God says, test me. And what's it have to deal with? Money. You will not find the phrase "honor the Lord with" anywhere else in the Scripture, except there in Proverbs. Honor the Lord with. How do I honor the Lord? Honor the Lord with your wealth. Isn't that interesting? Now, there's many ways we can honor God, right? And the Bible tells us that shows us many ways to honor God. But isn't it interesting that the only specific way that the Bible says honor the Lord with, it's followed by our wealth? And then when God says, "Put me to the test," it is about our finances. Why? Don't we have a tendency to trust in ourselves rather than God? Don't we have a tendency to lean on our own understanding, to not acknowledge all of his ways? I'll tell you, I learned the value of this scripture when I was 19 years old. When I was 19 years old, I wanted to go to college. My parents said, "You're going to college." Now, we don't have the money to send you to college, but you need to go. And so I went to college, and my prayer was I wanted to go to college debt-free without getting a student loan, okay? That was my goal, and I didn't expect the government to do that for me. So I went and got a job. One of the jobs I had was I worked at a steel plant where my dad worked for summer help. So I was a laborer in a steel mill, and I worked that whole summer, and I was getting my paycheck, and boy, I thought I was making some good money. I was, for a 19-year-old. And so I remember that first check I got. 19-year-old young kid. I wasn't smart enough to trust in my own understanding. I was just foolish enough to believe that God's word, if he said it, I believed it. And I pray, I said, "Lord, I'm gonna tithe from this, and my prayer is this, that you help me get through school with no student debt." And so I'd get my check, I'd write my tithe check. Here I am, 19 years old, write my tithe check. From that moment on, I have never stopped giving my tithes unto God. Because he's proved himself faithful over and over again. And you know what? I was able to go to college debt-free, no student loan. And I think that was a blessing from God. Because he promises that he will supply our needs. Now, not our greeds, but our needs. Amen? And he will supply what we need. And so, do you trust God with your finances? He says, if you'll test me and try me, I will supply everything that you need. And look what will happen in verse 11. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. He says, the blessing that I'm going to put on you is not just going to be for your good, but it's going to be a good for the nations, that they're going to see how good I am. Do you trust him with your finances? And can he trust you with the resources he's placed in your hand? Because as we talked about last week, everything that we have comes from who? Lord, we don't own a thing, right? Jesus makes a similar statement, doesn't he? Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says this, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you treasure, what you value, that indicates where your heart is at. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's he talking about there? About your eye. Your eye being healthy. That word healthy means singleness, wholeness. That when your eye is one, when you're not a double-minded person, when you have a singular focus and your focus is good and spot on, it also can be that word that uses that means generous. When your eye is full of generosity, then your whole life is generous. But if your eye is full of greed, then your whole life is selfish. And what does he go on to say? Look at verse 24. These are from the words of Jesus. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and money. He goes on and he says, don't be like the Gentiles. All they're worried about is what they can eat and what they're going to wear. He says, your father knows that you need food. Your father knows that you need clothes. He says, look at the birds of the air. Look how they don't work and they don't worry and they don't toil, but they're supplied. He said, look at the lilies of the field and see how they're clothed. He goes, I tell you, Solomon in all his glory wasn't clothed as good as these. He said, your father knows what you need. So don't be anxious about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat, what the next day holds. For today has enough to worry about. Focus on the day. And then he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what? All these things shall be what? Added to you. What are all these things? The things they were worried about. What they were going to eat, what they were going to wear, how they're going to pay the bills, how they're going to put their kids through college, all those things. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added to you. Paul in 1 Timothy says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we had food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evils. It is through the craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. Now notice it says the love of money. It doesn't say that money is evil. It says the love of money is evil. Why is the love of money evil? Because Jesus said you cannot be devoted to one. You can't be devoted to both. You'll either be devoted to one and despise the other. So if money is your God and your pursuit, and that's what you want out of life, then you cannot serve God. That's what Jesus said. You have to pursue his kingdom first. He goes on in verse 17 and says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Isn't that what Jesus said? It's exactly what Jesus just said. Proverbs 11 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteousness will flourish like the green leaf. So who are you trusting? Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting him with your finances? And can he trust you with the resources he's blessed you with? Y'all remember how many of y'all remember the parable of the talents? Raise your hand if you have ever heard of the parable of the talents. Okay, the parable of the talents is that there's a landowner that gives a guy five talents, and he gives one two, and he gives one one. Now, talents is a unit of measure. It's money. Okay, it's money. So Jesus is using a parable about how a person handles money with how faithful they are to God. You know, it's not, you know, Some probably Baptist preacher who didn't want to tithe made up this tithe your time and tithe your talents, and talent being your gifts. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. It says tithe your money. You bring a tithe to the storehouse. You bring your resources to the storehouse. And so he says, gave one five, gave one two, gave one one. The one that had five went out and got five more. The one that had two went out and got two more. The one that had one said, oh, master, he's a stickler. He's a pretty intense boss. He hides his, and he doesn't invest it, and he doesn't steward it well. So when he comes back to give an account, how many of y'all realize we will all give an account before God for how we have stewarded our life, all aspects of our life? Yes, including how we've spent our finances. That'll be a part of it. Not all of it, but it'll be a part of it. And he says to the one who got five more. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rulers over many. Enter into the joy and rest of the Lord. The one that got two more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll put you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The one that had one said, master, I knew you to be a hard man. You were, you know, you tried to harvest where you didn't sow and all these, you know, and I was scared. So I just hid the money. I didn't do anything with it. But here's one. I didn't lose anything. What was the response? He says, you wicked and lazy servant, throw him out into outer darkness. Take what he had and give it to the one who had five. Because God expects us to steward our resources, our life, for his glory. There's another parable about money. There's many parables about money, but there's another one. We're going to look at this one later on. I won't read that whole parable, but the outcome of that parable is this verse, chapter Luke, verse 16. Luke 16, verse 10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in what? Much. Now catch this, watch this. Now he's using money again as an example of our obedience and faithfulness. One who is dishonest in very little is also what? Dishonest in much. Yeah, I hear some people say, well, I can't afford to tithe. I'm too poor to tithe. If I made a lot more money, I'd tithe. That's a lie. If you can't do it with little, you're not going to do it with much. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. If you can't be faithful with little things, how are you going to be faithful with more? And if you're faithful with little things, guess what? You'll be what? Faithful with more. It's what he's saying. Verse 11, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, that's talking about money, that's mammon, that's the god of materialism. If you've not been faithful in handling unrighteous wealth and handling money, who will entrust you to true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which is another's, meaning everything that you have is not yours, it's God's. So if you haven't stewarded what I've given you, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Again, he says on another occasion, you cannot serve God and what? Money. And so here's the thing. It's a matter of trust. Do we trust God that he will do what he says he will do? And can he trust us to steward what he has given properly? I think one of the most beautiful pictures of trust is found in 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, we are told that the word of the Lord comes to Elijah the prophet. And he says, you go tell Ahab that there's going to be a drought. And for 3 years, there's not going to be a drop of rain hit this dirt. And so he goes and he prophesies to Ahab. And he says, thus saith the Lord, it's not going to rain for 3 years. There's going to be a drought. The Lord tells Elijah to go live underneath this tree by this brook. And a raven will come and bring him bread. So he's depending totally on God. And and this raven supplies him with food. Well, the brook dries up because of the drought. And then the word of the Lord comes to Elijah, and he tells Elijah, he says, I want you to go to Zarephath, and there you will find a widow that I have commanded that she will feed you. So he obeys the voice of the Lord, and he goes to Zarephath, and there he finds this widow gathering sticks. She's gathering some sticks, and she's got a son. She's feeble because she doesn't have much. She's a widow. She's poor. She's probably skin and bones. Her son is not healthy. Why do we think this? Well, because Elijah the prophet says, the word of the Lord says this. You get some flour and you make me a cake. And if you obey what I say, you will have flour that will never run out, and your jar of oil will never stop flowing until the end of this drought. Now that widow, she's like, sir, I'm gathering sticks. I don't have any flour. I've just got a handful of flour, and I'm going to go bake me a little cake, and I'm going to feed it to my son, and we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. He says, no, if you'll do what I say, this is what's going to happen. Now, this widow had a choice, didn't she? Was she going to trust Elijah? Was she going to trust what God said? I mean, it didn't make sense. Now, wait a minute. I mean, what would you think? You know, you're starving to death. You don't have a little bit of flour. And here comes this guy says, hey, bake a cake and feed me first. And then after you feed me, you're going to have all that you need. You're going to have all your supply. How many of you are going to be like, oh, yeah, that sounds great? Huh? I mean, how many of y'all going to be like, Joker, I don't know who you think you are, but that doesn't make sense. That doesn't seem right. But wait a minute. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your what? Own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. And so that widow, she trusted. She believed God. She goes in there and she makes a cake. She comes back out and she gives it to Elijah. Elijah eats. She eats. Her son eats. And they don't just eat one meal, but they eat until that drought ends. That flour in that jar, it never runs out. And that oil in that jar never stops flowing. Because God is faithful, he can be trusted, and he is a God of his word. Everything that we have is what? God's. We don't own anything. We all in here, we make money. We make hundreds of dollars a week. Every dollar is made up of at least three quarters, two dimes and a nickel. That's what I got in my hand. Three quarters, two dimes and a nickel. That's a dollar. And you look at that, and God says, son, you see those three big quarters? Yeah, I see those. They're big. He says, those are yours. Really? You mean I get all three of these quarters? I get to keep those? He said, yeah. I'm giving those for you to steward. Oh, man, thanks God. These three big quarters. So, what about this big nickel? That's yours too. What? Are you kidding me? I get to keep the nickel and the three quarters? He says, yeah, those are yours. Well, then, you probably want these two dimes, don't you? He says, no. What? No, you get to keep one of those dimes. Are you serious? God, I get to keep the three quarters, the big old nickel, and one of the dimes, too? He says, yeah. All I want to know, son, is can you trust me with that one dime out of every dollar? That I will do for you more with that 90 in your hand than what you can do with the 95, with the 96, with the 97. That if you will trust me with that one dime out of every dollar, I will supply all your needs. And I'm wondering if I can trust you with the rest. Can I trust God with this dime? And can God trust me with what he's given me in my hand? It's a good question, isn't it? Let's pray. Father, this morning, I pray, God, that we would understand what trust is about. That we would trust you, not just in some of our ways, not in just some areas of our life, but in all areas of our life. Lord, there's many folks here this morning, they've trusted you for salvation. They've believed that Jesus died for their sin. They've called upon Jesus to forgive them. And they've been saved. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, there's some men and women here this morning. They don't know you yet. They've never experienced salvation. They need to trust you for salvation. So Lord, I pray you speak to their heart. And Lord, for those of us who've been saved, may we acknowledge you in all of our ways. And Lord, we understand that that is more than just our finances, but it's not less than our finances. So Lord, I pray that you would search our hearts and minds right now. What areas in our life are we not trusting you? Lord, there may be many here this morning. They trust you really well with their finances, but they have a hard time trusting you with relationships. Or they have a hard time trusting you with forgiveness. So, Lord, I pray that your spirit would speak and move and search the minds and the hearts, Lord, and that you would put your finger on the point in our heart where we're not trusting you. And that we would come, and we'd pray, and we'd call upon you, Lord, and say, Lord, I need to trust you in all my ways, even in this area right now. Lord, speak, Lord, move, do a work in Jesus' name. Amen.